Greetings, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bechorot Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph at the bottom. The next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Gimel in our Perek. Mishnah Dalet, which is accompanied by Mishnah Hay. Hamakavel Tzon Barzel Min HaOved Kochavim. And I wrote an introductory note explaining what this relationship is. Tzon Barzel, which is a term that we're most familiar with from Masechet Ketubot, which means literally iron strong flock. What it means here is where somebody accepts the responsibility to take care of flock for a certain amount of years, and he's going to be paid for it, but the owner accepts the value as is, which means that if the caretaker appreciates the value, then the appreciation is his. If it depreciates the value, then it's his loss, which means that the fellow who's accepting it has a stake in it, but the owner is still the owner. Vladotam Turin. So you got it from a non-Jew. Therefore, the Vladotir are exempt from Bechorah because it's a non-Jews. But Valde Vladotehen, if they have offspring of the offspring, then Chayavin. Because that is something that you're going to keep. Now, Hamid Vladotan Tachanimotan, but if you set up the offspring to be in place of the mothers for collection, then everything moves down one generation. Vlade Vladot Pturin, Vlade Vladot Chayavim. Then, if you will, generation two from what you got is still Patur. Generation three is going to be Chayav. He says, even till 10 generations, which would presumably mean however far you go, you're always patur, because the goy can collect from any of them, and therefore it is exempt. Now the next Mishnah, Rachel Shealdam Mina A's, we're going to go back to that and look at it when we finish the analysis of this Mishnah. Okay, to the Gemara, Lememra. The Kehendor Nakat Marazuze, so you're telling me that in the Tzon Barzel relationship, since the original owner did not yet get paid for his flock, Birshuta de Marakaima, that means that it's still owned by him, and therefore it's a Goy's flock and it's Patur. Armino, here's the challenge. Ein Mekablin Tzon Barzel mi Yisrael. You're not allowed to have that kind of relationship with another Jew. Why? Neshu Rebit, because that's considered Rebit, because when you're getting the Vladot, so that means that this is considered as if you already received it, and now you're getting the Vladot for holding on to the money. Alma Rashuta de Makabo Kaima, what we see from there, without going into the details of Rebit too far, is that it's now owned by the guy who's holding on to it, not by the original owner. So how do we reconcile these? So two answers. Amar Baye Lokasha. Had the Kabil Ale Unsa Vizula. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the owner accepts that whatever loss or depreciation happens, he will accept. Which means this is only a good deal for the fellow who got it, and therefore the owner is still the owner because he's still got a stake in the value here. And the Braita is talking about a case where he didn't accept such a thing, but the value is the value. I've gave you $100,000 worth of stuff. You got to return $100,000 to me at the end of the period. And if it goes down, you got to make up the difference. And therefore it's considered now owned by the fellow who got it, and therefore there's a rebate problem. So Marley Rava has three attacks. First of all, the Kabbalah Yunsa Vazula Tzon Barzel Karitlay, how can you call that a Tzon Barzel relationship? If the owner originally giving it over says, and if there's any loss, I'll make up the difference, that's not called Tzon Barzel. The whole point of it being Barzel is that it's an ironclad thing, it's not going to change. And that's the difference between Tzon Barzel and Malog in Ketubot. The odd, second of all, Epsaka, how could you decide that the same phrase, Tzon Barzel, in two different halachot, means a different thing? The odd, and this is sort of a piece of the second question, Adetani Seifa, Vom Kablin Tzon Barzel Min Hagoy, Liflug Velitni Bididam, and Vermurim, Delo Kabbal Leyun Savazula, Abba Kabbal Leyun Savazula, Shapridami. In the Braita about the Rebid problem, it says that you're allowed to have such a relationship with a non-Jew. So why didn't they also add in, said yes, and also, if the Jew is Mekabel Onsa Vezula, you could do it with him too. So he has three attacks on Abaye's distinction. He says both the Braita and our Mishnah are talking about a case where he wasn't Mekabel Onsavazula. It's a regular Tzon Barzel where it's $100,000 or whatever the value is, and that's what he's going to get back. And the difference is simply a difference in the nature of the halachot. If, in the case of Bechor, if the goy would come and want his money and you don't give him the money, he'll grab the animal. Which means that he has access to any of these animals. If the animal's not there, he'll grab the offspring or the next offspring. So therefore the goy has a hand in a collection from any of these animals. And since the goy has access to these animals, they're all part of a bechora. You don't have full ownership over any of them. And therefore they're part of a bechora. It's still in your reshut, and therefore the rebbe problem still exists. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah said, that if you set up the next generation to be the prime collection, then everything moves down by one generation. Now, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna had the following statement about the opening line of the Mishnah. Vladot Pturin, and as I put it there, we're going to call generation zero the animals you got, generation one their offspring, etc. So Vladot means generation one is Patur, Vladei Vladotein Chayavin. Generation two is already Chayav. Rav Yehuda Amar Vladei Vladot Nami Pturin. He says generation two is also Patur, Vladei Vladei Vladot Chayavin. Generation three is Chayav. Now, Tanan, let's check that out. Rav Yehuda is going to have a problem with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Hamid Vladot Tachat Imoteyen Vladei Vladot Pturin. So if you put, the Mishnah stated in the clause we're looking at now, if you put generation one in place of generation zero, then generation two is Patur. Tam Adhamid, it's only because you made that arrangement. Halo Hamid Lo. If you didn't make that arrangement, generation two is Chayav. Tiyufta to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda has been shot down. So Amalach Rav Yehuda, he says, no, who Adina forgot to Lo Hamid. Even our Mishnah says if you put the Vladot in place of the mothers, then everything drops down by generation. But he says, by the way, even if you didn't put it in, it would still be one generation lower. It's teaching us that even if you stipulated that the next generation stands in place in lieu of the mother, because then the goy is typically going to go off to the next generation. And it says if you did not... the goy is going to go after generation one, and so it says if you didn't do anything. So vadei vadot pturin, vadei vadei vadot chayavin. You still haven't gained an extra generation. That's what they're trying to tell you, that afilu hamid. Okay, now let's check this. Tam Rishon Gamliel Omer, the end of the Mishnah was, Rishon Gamliel saying, disagreeing and saying, afilu ad asaradorot pturin. He didn't say forever, he used the word asaradorot. Shachir tam the goy, because the goy has access to all of them. So bishnu Rav Yehuda d'amar nachi tana kama dari. According to Rav Yehuda, who said that the tana kama actually specifies generations, hayu d'amar Rishon Gamliel afilu ad asaradorot pturin. That's what Rishon Gamliel responded with a number. Because Rav Yehuda holds that Tanakama also used a specific number. But according to Rav Yehuda, who says the Tanakama isn't specific about it, he just means the next generation is Chayav. So why did Rav Shimon Gamliel use 10? So Rav Huna has an answer, and he says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ahamidka. He's referring to the second part of the Mishnah with Hamid. Because there we agree the Tanakama used specific generations. He said, Vladei Vladot Pturin, Vladei Vladei Vladot Chayavin. And he's responding and said, I don't care how many generations you go down, they're always Patur. Alright, Toshma, Amakabot Son Barzel Min HaGoy, Vladot Pturin, Vladei Vladot, Vladei Vladot, Lo. So the Mishnah says that if you're Makabot Son Barzel, Vladot or Patur, so Vladei Vladot or not, that's a thief to the Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is now disproven because the clear reading of the Mishnah is that it's only the first generation that's Patur. Rav Yehuda, he says, Emahein Uvladotean. Don't read Vladotean, but Hein Uvladotean, which means the Vladot plus the next generation. So Ikadamri, some people read that same line as a challenge against Rav Yehuda. Hein Uvladotean Pturin, because they read it the way that Rav Yehuda did. So Tiyuv to the Rav Huna. So the Rav Huna Imahein Uvladot Patur. Hein Uvladotein would mean generation 0, 1, and 2 in the plural. So he says, no, Rav Huna says Hein Uvladot. Read it as generation 0 and 1. Vladei Vladot Chayav, generation 2 would be Chayav. Okay. Now, let's look back for 1 second at the Mishnah. Rachel Shialdakin Ez Veishakin Bachel Patumer Bachoram Yeshbuk Tzat Simonim Chayab. We've already now analyzed this several times earlier in the Gemara. If a Rachel gave birth to something that looked like a goat or vice versa, it's Patur, but if it looks a little bit like the mother, it's Chayav. Okay, Ato Avoshavina Hardea Vaiti Matnita Biyadei. So he came from Nardea and he had a Brita. What does it read? Rachel bat Eiz ve'Eiz bat Rachel, our kind of case. Rav Meir mechayev v'chachamim potrim. And we don't know what the context is. So Rav Meir says it's chayav. Amar Rav Hoshaya l'Rabba. So this was floating around. And Rav Hoshaya said to his student Rabba, ki aylit l'kamei Rav Huna. When you go to Rav Huna to learn from him, ba'i minei, go ask him the following question. Rav Huna at the time was the oldest chacham around, who would have the best access to this information. Rav Meir Mechayev Lamai. What is Rav Meir Mechayev here? What kind of halacha? Ilei mele b'chora, it can't be b'chora. V'leitle Rav Meir hach b'chor shor, we already have this in the first parak, that a shor has to look like its mother. Hachehu shor b'choro shor, has to look like its mother. So therefore, how could Rav Meir say it's chayav if it doesn't look like the mother? Can't be about b'chor. El Reshita Gaze, it must be about Reshita Gaze, the obligation to give the shearing. But if a late Hadatan or Rishmal Kwasim Smaran Kashep to Reshita Gaze, if you have lambs that have hard wool, they're exempt from Reshita Gaze. Shemara Megaz Kwasayit Chamem. We had this also in the first, back in Chulin, when we used this Pasuk to prove that the shearing has to be something you can actually make clothes out of. So if it's a lamb that has, if it's a goat, first of all, it's patur. If it's a lamb that has goat kind of hair, it's also patur, because it doesn't work. So Amar Le Nechzi Anan. So Rabbi said, let's see if we can figure it out. It must be that the father was a goat and the mother was a ewe. The machloket that Rabbi and Chacham have is there a din of otov et pino, and do we take into account the identity of the father? We're concerned about that, and therefore, you cannot kill the mechayev. That means if you kill the father on the same day. But Rabbanan say we don't care about that, and you could kill the father on the same day. So we already have that machloket in the fifth parak of Chulin. Then Chananya, who says you cannot kill the father either because it's otov epno, and Rabbanan say it's only the mother. Eliolam lebechora. We have to go back to Bechora and say that's what the Rameir is mechayev. Again, this a contextual machloket has to be put into the context of Bechora. Machamayaskir Rachel bat Rachel bat Eiz. We have a three generation problem here. The animal giving birth is a Rachel. Her mother was a Rachel. And her mother was a goat. Marsa Razil Bater Ime. Rameir says, look at the mother. This thing is born of a Rachel, therefore it's a Rachel. And therefore, actually the Rachel bat Rachel bat Eiz means the newborn was a not a Rachel really, but a lamb, male lamb. Mother was a ewe, and grandmother was a goat. So Rameir says, look at the mother. The Bahai Lav Nin Mehu. So it's not different than its mother. Its mother was a sheep. It's a sheep. Marsa Razil Bater Ime De Ime. And Chacham would say you have to look at the grandmother too. Vainin Mehu, which means the grandmother was a goat, anything that looks like a sheep coming out of the result of that down the generations is Nidme, at least for two generations. Vibayitema, the other way to look at it is Rachel Bat Eiz Bat Rachel. A goat gave birth to a Rachel, but the goat's mother was a Rachel. Marsa Rachazwa Seyutlim Koman. Rameir says lambness has returned to this family. And so therefore it's been righted, it's a correction, and it's chayav. Marsal Chum say, Lo chazra seyut limkoman. You don't say that. Because it doesn't look like his mother. Ravashi Amari has a different take. Gon sheyesh po miktsat simanim, uman chachamim Reb Shimon, damat sheyeh rosh over bo, dome lav leimo. Remember Reb Shimon said, that the majority of the animal has to look like its mother in order to be chayav. And so therefore, we're talking about a case where only a little bit looks like the mother. And therefore, Reb Meir says chayav, and Chacham say patur, because Chacham's Reb Shimon has to be more than that. Now, we're going to see a list of areas where Reb Meir agrees that it will have to fully look like the mother to be in the ballpark. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Adar Meir b'Seir shel Rosh Chodesh, the goat brought on Rosh Chodesh by Inam ben Sirah, it has to be the son of a nanny goat, and it can't be the son of a lamb. Maitama amakra echad. Seir echad means hamiyuchad uva mishesh rebbe yeshid. It has to be a goat that's the same kind of goat that we had since goats existed. Fami achanafka, is that the source? Me'atam nafka, shor ochesev, when talking about korbanot, it says shor ochesev o eiz kivaleid. Shor ochesev, we had this in Zvachim, pratli kilayim, means it cannot be a hybrid. O eiz, pratli nimet, it excludes something that doesn't look like its mother. So it's already out. The answer is tzricha, we need both psukim. Di me'atam havyameinu hanimili, eichad alo nachat ladari. In the case, if we only had that pasuk, you'd say, yeah, that's where you don't have a multi-generational problem. And it's shor chesev, as long as it looks like the mother, that's fine. Hecha denachat emelo, but if the earlier on it was, it looks like his mother, but earlier on there was a problem, it would be fine. Shor chesev ways would not exclude it. So therefore we need echad. V'imehacha, if you only had the echad, avmeinah hanimili gabi korban chova. It's talking about seir rosh chodesh, the obligation. On the davalo, the pasuk of Shor v'Chesed v'Eiz is essentially about a korban that you voluntarily bring. Maybe you could bring one like that. So tzricha in that pasuk. Racha bar Yaakov. Now we have another one. Akom odim de'en lokin alt samro mishum kilayim. If you wear flax and the wool of a nidmeh, you don't get have kilayim. You don't get makor for shatnez. Shenemar otavash shatnez, which is pishtanu v'tzevro v'shtim yachdav. Ma pishtan shalon shatnez. Just like flax stays flax the way it comes out of the ground. Wool has to be the same kind of wool that it always was and not different than its mother. Papa, so now the extension of that is, you cannot use the wool of an inmeh for tchelet. We had this juxtaposition so many times at the beginning of Yevamot and so many other places of shatnez and the prohibition of wool and linen and kedilim, the mitzvah of the wool of tchelet. Same thing. If you have the wool of such an animal, it can't get nigei beged shenemar beveged semer or beveged pishtim, as the wool or linen. Okay, same thing. Now Rashi then tries to extend this. Afan Nomar, it's unclear what the Afan Nomar means, I'm really going to make this extension, or whether he's trying to show how much this extension could go awry. If you have grapes and you take the vines and you drape it over a fig tree so that the grapes now get some of the flavor of figs, you know, pasul and asachim, then you can't bring the wine from that vine as asachim. My time, because the Torah says, zevach u'nesachim. The Torah compares korbanot, animal korbanot, with nesachim. Ma zevach shlo nishtanaf, nesachim shlo nishtanu. Just like an animal, it was the same, we just said, has to be like its mother. So the nesachim have to be pure grape. So matke avina, avina then attacks then and says, hilaf yishtanak abehiga achinami delishti. So if you took, some flax, and you turned the flax so that it went over a thorn bush, you're gonna say that that now is not flax and there's no mashatness for that? So im ken lomai or nige begadim ken lomai said amrat ma pishtan shlo nishtaneh. Then you're going to say that just like flax hasn't changed, because then it's not true. Flax could change, and then your whole semer pishtim goes out. Ta pishtin nami mishtani. So malei zeh nishtaneh reicho v'zeh lo nishtaneh reicho. Says in the case of the grape, the flavor of the grape has changed, so it's not the same as what an original grape is. This is just location. It's just on top of a thorn bush. It hasn't changed anything about the way that the flax, if you will, tastes or its substance at all. It's just its location, and that is irrelevant. So Ravashi, in the end, seems to defend his psak about the Geffen Agabe Tena. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with next Mishnah on our way, our study here of the second parak of Bechorot. Everybody should have a wonderful day.